Blog Talk Radio.
I may not have a license to kill, but liberalism dies a little every time I pull the trigger on it. This is a conservative's perspective. Hey everybody, James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective, on the Mojo 5.0 Radio Network, Mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, well, you should be, because it is the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio that you're going to find, Mojo50.com. We also have a two-hour live version of the program, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com. Go to blogtalkradio.com, type in Patriot Nation Radio. You'll see our lineup there with a conservative perspective, the American Allegiance program, the American Allegiance program, and Patriot Nation Radio Live. Check them out. BlogTalkRadio.com, Patriot Nation Radio. Well, the games have begun. The concentration camp games in the People's Republic of China have started. I haven't watched any of it, don't intend to.
All right, folks, we're here. We made it. It's a little shaky here. We got a startup audio that we haven't had a chance to turn off yet. So it comes up every show now. But we're here. We're live at Patriot Nation Radio Show. We got one heck of a show on tap for you tonight. We'll be talking to the Red Pill Rebel. He's host of Red Pill Politics on the Republic Broadcasting Network. He's been in contact with a lot of these guys that are planning the trucker, the convoy to D.C. 2022 USA style. And we're going to be checking that out here. I just heard something. Don't worry, folks. We're getting this together here tonight. See, I'm trying to get this new equipment down. We're figuring it out little by little because it does stuff like this. It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show live. That's a lot of fun. I want to say hello to everybody there in the live feed. Mandy, Rob, Michelle, and others that are popping up in the live feed. We're going to get rocking and rolling here any second as this show gets moving along. Of course, technical difficulties reign supreme as I'm figuring out the new equipment. But we're getting there. So check it out. Bam.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, welcome to the show. Okay. The Patriot Nation Radio Show live at www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. We are live here Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Central Time. And usually we have also James Bostic in a conservative perspective, but he's doing some training for his job, and he's taking a few weeks off here. He'll be back soon with his own show, A Conservative Perspective, heard two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And, of course, our most awesome producer and host of the American Allegiance Show, author and host, Kevin White, thank you so much for hooking us up and being our producer the last few weeks as James has been doing his thing. His show is heard Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network as well. You want to make sure you check out the American Allegiance Show. He's bringing on great guests and doing fantastic things, bringing truth to media lies and supporting the American way of life, like we do here at the Patriot Nation Radio Network, where we back patriots who do patriotic things, like standing up for our country. Like, you know, we watch what's happening in Canada, in Ottawa, and all throughout the provinces of Canada. as the truckers roll in, as they block the border entries in Montana and Detroit and other areas. We're expecting a great turnout. In fact, from what I understand, some truckers may already be on the road from California heading this way. And we're going to bring our guest in right now. He's the Red Pill Rebel. He's heard on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Red Pill Politics. And we're going to bring him on right now because he's been chit-chatting with some of these guys that are organizing the Northeast leg of the convoy to D.C. 2022. And I'm trying to pull him up here on the board, and we're going to rock this out. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. The Red Pill Rebel. Welcome, brother. I seen the show. I saw an episode. You were talking to some truckers, and I said, I got to get this guy on. He knows what's going on. He knows the deal. So what's happening? Welcome.
Boy, thanks a lot for having me on. Real pleasure to be out there talking this up. We're going to be writing history here soon. I think for the first time ever, you're seeing a rising of we the people of every nation of the world, because the oppressions, the mandates, just the heavy hand of government is on everybody. And this whole COVID-1984 nonsense was the perfect vehicle for the globalists and the bankers to get together and pretty much do what they're doing. And if you look, and I'm sure your audience probably has bumped into they've pretty much told us what they're going to do. And they're using this vehicle on everybody. They're trying to implode the economies of every nation to bring us all down and weaken us all, and think the only way out of it is this new cashless society, this digital ID. It is the mark of the beast for sure, and the people are realizing it. Canada has done a great thing here. They were kind of the tip of the spear, but this is breaking out, brush fires of liberty all around the world. And here in the United States, the American people, the patriots that are out there everywhere, are vibrating with energy. That they are chomping at the bit to make the same statement to a overreaching, aggressive government, that the mandates are over. These executive actions, this coming down on the people like that. Those days are over, and I for one am glad to see it, because you can push back on globalization as a single, America can't do it by itself. We need what we're seeing right now,
and it's pretty impressive. I see this happening in France and all over the place. Israel's got a big one going on right now. I think it's pretty incredible to see actually what's happening in Canada. And the incredible part to me is the labeling of these patriotic citizens as being terrorists, when for the whole year of 2020, BLM and Antifa rioted 574 times across this country and never once was called a terrorist. They were called somewhat peaceful protesters.
Yeah.
When I look at the folks in Canada, what they're doing, that is peaceful protesting. They're sweeping and shoveling and helping people, and they're stimulating the economy, spending money. They're not trashing anything. There's, 100,000 vehicles involved, 100, maybe 200,000 vehicles by now. Don't believe the media. They're lying about the count because they don't want you to know how huge it really is. And guess what? Not one thing's burning. No one's been beat. Not a cop's been attacked. No Molotov cocktails, no frozen water bottles, no rocks, no bricks, no bats, no sticks, no guns, nothing.
Right. Peace. Right. And that's really the only reason that I'm personally involved, is because this really, in Canada, but also here in the States, this is a classic, perfect example of a peaceful assembly of people seeking redress of grievance. This is a classic First Amendment action and is nonviolent. And in fact, we've been absolutely adamant. The volunteers up here have done an outstanding job making sure that we stay on mission, on task, what the message is. And we're definitely on the lookout for troublemakers. You know, some of them are just homegrown, you know, people that are just wound a little bit too tight. And then we've seen, as we did in D.C., the feds get in there and mix things up and agitate. So we're on the lookout for everything. We're keeping it peaceful. And it's going to be unenforceable simply due to the numbers. Some of our early estimates say that we're probably going to have, for every one truck, there's going to be probably five passenger vehicles. I mean, everyone's involved. Cars can go. Motorcycle clubs are signing up to go. Everyone's going to descend down there with a message that's hopefully loud and clear.
Well, I know a few years back, truckers did roll into D.C. They got on the Beltway. They slowed down for a little while. They caused a little disruption. And I know the truckers have been angry for a while. I have a few trucker friends, and they're mad at things like the electronic log books that they have to file and the amount of time and that they're allowed to drive and things like that. And once they get behind the wheel and start the truck, that's it. Their time starts. And when it hits, 14 hours, that's it. They got to stop. And that's it. They can't drive, even if they have to stop, load, unload. Yeah. It's all part of it. And sometimes you stop halfway through your trip and take a nap, and you know, that's it. They can't even do that now. So they got tired drivers, exhausted, on erratic schedules because they can't. They have to follow these stupid regulations. They've been fighting for a long time.
It interferes with the flow of the products too, and they're very much like the fishing industry. You go talk to a fisherman, and they got to get up at 4 in the morning, go out, get everything fired up, and then they get on the radio, and they radio into the government and ask them if they can work that day, and if so, where can they actually fish? Sometimes they're told, no, well, you can't work today. I mean, it's incredible.
Hey, I got my friend from over in the New Zealand area. And she's reporting to me right now that their convoy is going well and they are camping on Parliament grounds as we speak. Tomorrow in New Zealand, it's the future.
This is going to break out everywhere. I can guarantee that the United States is going to come out big. I mean, I got myself right in the middle of a bee's nest here, and I saw such an explosion of enthusiasm and momentum. It's unstoppable that people are coming together and doing it very much organically. We're, of course, trying to keep things on message and peaceful, as I said, but this is going to be an amazing thing to participate in. But, boy, the people got to understand one thing, and Canada was a very good example of this, is the truckers, first off, are the perfect vehicle, the perfect messenger for this. They travel the arteries and veins of our nations everywhere and bring everything to us. All right, they're the perfect messengers in that respect. But we gotta remember that this is way more than just the truckers. All right, there's a whole economic wet blanket behind what's going on here. And the people that are going to save the day, the truckers did their thing in Canada. They went in, everything came to a screeching halt, and all focus went on the message. All right, they did their job. What's going to win or lose the day for Canada and for us is, if you look right after, like any, this is all like a battleground. And in a typical battleground, battles are won and lost by supply lines, right? The soldiers were there. Can they be sustained? And the government went right after the people that were bringing gas and food to them. So, if the American people, as soon as they're threatened, if the truckers go in there and the whole convoy goes in and they need to sustain themselves over weeks or maybe even months, they obviously need fuel for their vehicles and themselves. So if the American people cower, when you can't send these people off to D.C. like this and, just watch the taillights go over the horizon, bon voyage, we'll see you when you get back. We got to support them 100% throughout this effort. Every day. This is not just a weekend gone to D.C. and back. and the people got to be behind it.
Well, we're trying to do our part here at the Patriot Nation Radio Network, at least to bring the awareness of what's going on. A lot of people have no clue that this is getting ready to happen. And I think it's amazing. The country needs backbone and patriots and all this type of stuff to do what's right. And I think this is the time. Maybe it's the right time. Maybe, who knows? But I know anybody who is supporting this effort, anybody who is backing this effort, they are classifying us. They're trying right now to turn us all into terrorists. They're trying to say if you speak up for redress of grievances and use your First Amendment rights to tyranny, you're a terrorist. And well, here we are. Freedom, if you support freedom, liberty, and the American way of life, the Constitution, the American flag, you are now a terrorist in the Democrat eye. And
if you're a mom and you go into a school committee meeting and they feel a little scared and uncomfortable, they're labeling angry parents at school committee. And these meetings are there specifically to cater to the public, to give them connection to their elected officials. And they feel totally above the law and look down upon us as vassals. Those days are over. Those parents are exactly right. And when they should leave there angry, but committed to the replacement of these people that no longer are acting as public servants. They're not rulers, they're public servants.
Yep, I agree. And hold on, I got to do this here. Anyhow. I got some new equipment that I'm messing around with, so it's got me a little distracted. So please forgive me if I sound a little distracted while I'm here behind the microphone.
That's all right. Believe me, I know the feeling. Anything that could technically blow up during a broadcast has done it to me. So I feel for you.
I'm technologically challenged as well, so.
I know just enough to be dangerous to myself.
Anybody born before 1970 has no clue about technology. We know how to fix the clock on the VCR. We can get it.
I think we're participating in what is going to be the new mainstream media. The media has so severely discredited itself. And you look at a situation like with Rogan. This guy gets 11 million views. In CNN, you look at them, and it's measured in the hundreds of thousands. So I think people are going to start shopping around for shows like yours, like mine, like others, and they're going to be much, much more selective in how they educate themselves.
Well, they want people that are going to talk about the truth, not some spin that some guy in a room writes and puts across a screen for everybody to read across all news agencies, all of them. And what I try to remind people that every media source that you look at, from CNN, Fox, Newsweek magazine, and the New York Times or the Washington Post, they're all owned by six corporations. That's easy to manipulate information when only six people have their hands in there. Out of all the magazines, newspapers, news shows, TV shows, all of it, six corporations own it all. It might even be less now. Maybe somebody bought somebody. Maybe it's five now. Who knows? But I know it was six for the longest time. And they will be able to control everything you see, hear, and feel on the web, on the TV, or on the airwaves. So alternative media is the way to go. I've been doing this now for 9 years on the Patriot Nation radio show. We're like at 1,090 episodes or something like that. And we've been just trying to spread truth for years and wake people up. I covered the border. I covered the Bundy Ranch. I covered the Malia Wildlife Refuge takeover, the murder of Lavoy Finicum, all kinds of things I've been covering. Bikers to D.C. when they sent the millions of bikes in there. I covered it all, man. And I got to keep going because people out
There's real stories. Even right in our little towns speckled across the country, there's little tyrannies that take place. And once they come to light, people know to begin looking for them and where to look for them in their own towns. And with
right.
the Cynicums, very familiar with that, as I tracked that pretty close from the beginning. And in fact, my wife and I do a little Patriot honeymoon out there, and we went to the Bundy trial at the federal court and spent
right.
the other half of our time literally wrangling Lavoie cattle off the rangeland with Jeanette and her daughter. And from
right.
an environmental point of view, I was enthralled just to be on horseback and looking at the wildlife, because I wanted to see with my own eyes, were these ranchers actually destroying the rangeland? And what I found is in every single place that humans developed the water resources, there was an absolute abundance of life, not only in quantity, but quality, the diversity. It was incredible. Everything that the news had said was a bold-faced lie, and I got to see it with my own eyes.
And I'll never forget the murder of Lavoie Finicum as it took place on my birthday. So I'll never forget.
Oh.
I had his wife on. I had his daughter on. I had his son. I had the Bundys on. I had everybody on the show, too. And people are baffled. So what I did, check this out. I had a young lady. She was at a rally in D.C. where Black Lives Matter went up on the stage and got a chance to speak in front of patriots. And I got her on my show, and she was really upset, man, because the police killed her husband. It's understandable, you know. But I don't know all these circumstances. Apparently, they went to get him, and he ran. They said freeze. He kept going. They shot him. And she was really mad. And so what I did is I had folks come on the show whose family members were also killed by law enforcement. And what we pointed out to her was, you guys are getting gunned down by patrolmen in the streets, and we're getting gunned down by the feds in our home.
Yeah.
Then we alluded to things like Ruby Ridge and the Branch Davidians and of course, the Bundys and LaVoie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it opened up her eyes. She's like, well, we're all getting killed by law enforcement then. The thing that they fear the most is that we all realize this and go, wait, we'd be better off if we stuck together and fought this fight against these tyrants. And that's why they keep this race card going.
Yeah. You know, the truth is that it's a horrible thing when anyone dies. It doesn't matter. But the government comes in and they politicize it, they monetize it, or weaponize it. And here they're weaponizing it against us. They're getting us to fight each other. Because my observations, I went to a BLM rally in my own hometown, and it was right on the common, right next to a statue. It's got my ancestors, my relatives on. So I didn't want anything to happen to the statue. I showed up there, and I was probably one of a half dozen people within about 300 of them at their get-together. And, oh, man, they called us every name in the book and flipped us off. And there was two girls. One black girl, one white girl. They were sitting 15, 20 feet away from us the entire time. And I was just sitting there quietly. I had no sign. I didn't say anything derogatory, anything at all. I just sat there. But they got up to the mic, every announcer, and said, whatever you do, don't talk to these people. They're here to protest you. They hate, they're haters, they're racist. Just don't even talk to them. And they kept warning people, don't talk to us. And I thought that was kind of peculiar. Well, at the end, 298 of them filed by, flipping us off and calling us every name in the book. But those two girls came up, looked me right in the eye, and said, why are you here? And I brought her around the other side of the statue, and I said, right there, that's my great-great uncle. And I said, what happens is I'm a little concerned that that people with political ambitions have taken over your movement. When you come in and you plead your case for anti-racism, in your wake comes Antifa and they break the place apart. And I said, I'm here to make sure the statue is standing when you guys leave, that's all. And we wound up talking for an hour and a half once everyone was gone, and it came down to this.
She looked me in the eye and said, I think we agree on 90% of the issues. And I said, I think you're right. And she said, the only problem is you trust government. And I my eyes rolled and my buddy's eyes all rolled. And I said, well, that's not the case at all, sweetie. And then she goes to me and says, well, you probably think I'm anti-gun. And I'm taking my pistol course right now. And I said, touche. I would have probably, if I had to peg you as one or the other, I'd say you probably were a gun grabber, but good for you. So there was a little enlightening on both our parts, but you got to cleave them off from the flock. But when they got that herd mentality, the loudest voice rules the day, when you talk to them individually, they're just the young people of America that have been led astray.
Yeah, exactly. It's an amazing situation, what we're seeing in this country right now. And I got a young son, man, and I don't want him to look me in the eye one day and say, Dad, when freedom was slipping out of your hands, what did you do? You know, did you do anything?
Yeah.
Did you fight so that I can be free? What did you do? So he sees me every day doing my thing. You know, I always wear American flags. I always am always telling people, trying to point out the truth and the facts. And, you know, and I get hammered all the time, man, even by my own family sometimes. Like, stop talking about it. Shut up. Shut up. Is that all you can talk about? I'm like, I'm sorry, but it's so important.
Yeah.
You know, next to Jesus, what's more important?
Yeah, I mean, people can't protect the right they don't know they have. And government complicates it by coming out and pretending to create rights. All right? The government doesn't create rights. This whole social justice movement. There's only one type of justice here in this republic we call America, blind justice, where a millionaire, multimillionaire executive is treated exactly the same in a court of law as a homeless person. You get equal blind justice applied to everybody. So when they say social justice, environmental justice, economic justice, I mean, those are, you know, good story, bro. You know, when you're playing your frigging game somewhere, that's fine. There's no such thing in reality. You are not owed an economic justice of any kind. You're given the absolute right to pursue happiness as you will. And if you're lazy, you're probably not going to be wealthy.
Right.
You know, you get what you earn in life. So there's no guarantees. No guarantees because of your color. No guarantees that, you know, you're just going to get money just because. It's all fake. And they're steering these kids in the wrong direction.
One thing I got to say is they're teaching my son about the Constitution, and so far so good. I'm actually impressed. But we're down here in the Sunshine State, in the freedom state, the state where we're still free. You know, we got a great governor, and he's doing what's right. In fact, there he is.
You sound like a very capable person. I'd be homeschooling. We're experiencing right now in all this chaos the largest surge in homeschooling this country has ever seen. It's a quiet little secret. But it's happening literally right now.
He stayed home for the 1 year for COVID. He did fourth grade at home, and he did really he did good. But he's got a good school. He's got some. They're teaching him really well on his rights and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that stuff. They really the colonies, the 13 colonies. I mean, they're really doing good. And so I'm not really disappointed with the public school my son is in right now. But one thing I got to say is, we can't call these schools public schools. They are funded by government. They're government schools. They're run by government, funded by government, paid by the taxpayers. It's a government school. It's not a public school. You can't. If it's a public school, you can go up there and walk in and walk around. It's not a public school. It's a government school, and it's an indoctrination center.
Well, they're trying to pass laws right now saying that parents in school districts, they should have no influence over what the school district does. That's their decision only. And that is, if that's not a warning sign to parents out there, I don't know what is.
How's the homeless on? Yeah, it's quite an interesting scenario that's outbreaking with this COVID situation. what I'm predicting now with COVID is, as election season approaches, the mandates are going to go away, all the restrictions are going to go away, and they're going to come out and say, look what we did. We ended COVID. We did exactly what we say, and we saved the day. We're the heroes. Vote for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I expected this to happen as Canada began to heat up, and now there's been the announcement here of the convoy in the U.S. I totally expected these cowards to start rolling it back to just try to take away the whole reasoning, the impetus for there even to be a convoy. Well, look at all the mandates are gone. Well, it's not just about the mandates are the symptoms. And I had to evaluate this as we were organizing in the Northeast. We were paying very close attention to the messaging of this movement. And it stayed consistent, although it went from more of a branding of ending the mandate. It's getting to the root of the problem. The mandate was a symptom. All right. It's these executive orders and declaration of emergencies. That is the root. That's the poison root we should be chopping at, not flailing at the branches of things like that. So the movement is still the same. It's just it's been focused on the cause of those mandates. But we know they're little cowards. They're gonna start rolling them back, and we see nothing but that now. But that's they're not backing out the door with the authority or the jurisdiction to do those unconstitutional acts that they did. They can't leave with the authority. And that's what we're trying to sever right there. And the message is entirely peaceful. You know, it's the people are calling a meeting. All right, that's what's happening here is the people of this country are calling a meeting and they're going there. Here we are. So I hope. You know, there's still some righteous people in government that stand up now, stand with the people because they're coming and do the right thing. All right. This is nonviolent. There's not a person we're working with that wishes for anything other than a peaceful, freedom-oriented resolution to this.
Yes. Nonviolent, folks. If violence is part of your repertoire, stay home. If you feel like you want to break something or burn something or destroy somebody else's property, don't go. This is not a rally for you. We are peaceful. We want a peaceful resolution to our grievances as laid out in the Constitution of the United States. It's that simple. Folks, it's the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live, and we are kicking it with the Red Pill Rebel.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live. 347-637-3942.
So if folks want to hear the Red Pill Rebel live on Red Pill Politics at the Republic Broadcasting Network, how can they find you?
Well, I broadcast live every Saturday from 10 to midnight Eastern time, and I usually shoot a self-destructing live stream over to my Twitch channel, Red Pill Patriot, over there. So people want to jump in and participate in the text chat, they can, or they can do the one-click player over at republicbroadcasting.org.
Excelente. And how long has this actually been in the plan? Did it start when they seen the Canadian truckers, or was this in the works long before Canada did their convoy?
Boy, this is it's kind of an amazing story, the way the whole thing rolled out. Canada has been working on this for probably 8 to 12 months. They've been talking to the businesses, the people they work with and for, just the people in the countryside, strategic businesses. There was a lot done for many months leading up to this. So when all of a sudden we heard a convoy was rolling in Canada, you know, that's just the day they started rolling. There was 8 months before that they were working. Down here, it was like, bang, there it was. And there is so much political energy in the air right now with people. I mean, they are chomping at the bit that I knew this was going to blow up. And it became evident when the first Facebook page popped up there. And it
got up over 500,000 people. And at that time, we were kind of nervous. I've got a little bit of a network in the Northeast area, and I'm also the regional chair for the Constitution Party. So I have some trusted acquaintances ranging from West Virginia to Maine. And I thought it would be in our own best interest as the Northeast to at least have a few people in place that we already have, we know, we trust, we vetted, and, you know, people that we're confident with to organize this, because there is so much potential for infiltration, whether it's, you know, Antifa, BLM types or the feds or whatever. We wanted to make sure that we planned a safe trip to get our friends and neighbors down there and back safely. So what I did, and I had no idea this would happen, it completely erupted in my face, is I put out a Facebook page that was called the Freedom Convoy of D.C. Northeast Route. All right, I was recently changed to the People's Convoy Northeast Route. Well, I go to bed and you wake up in the morning and there's close to 20,000 people on there. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, right now we're looking at a little over 62,000 people poured into this page at a time when the national page had gained some popularity, but Facebook shut it down. And we have got a surge of people here, and we're going to put some good teams forward. And like I said, it's all about safety and keeping this many people, you know, on task, on message. We're looking for troublemakers, of course. But, I've never seen such an outpouring of offers to help and people wanting to get involved. It's a deluge. We don't know how to do it. It's very difficult for the organizers that volunteered to step up. We've got people doing 10, 12-hour days. Trying to help make this happen. It's incredible.
Right. It's amazing when some stuff starts, man. There's some amazing people out there, what they do and they put behind it. I've been behind a lot of different efforts and backed a lot of different situations. And when people come together, they really come together.
It's happening.
I'm hoping that this time around that they listen to the people. I don't think they will. I think they're going to do the same thing as Trudeau, label everybody as terrorists, try to arrest everybody. They don't do nothing for
Antifa. What if everyone turns around and goes right back to their state? That's probably one of the most common questions and things that's put out there on the message boards everywhere, because there is very much a state's rights aspect of this. All right, the federal government got slammed in the courts recently with these mandates that they don't have the right as the federal government to do such things. And, you know, the states, really, it lands there. But more specifically, if you look at the law, the ruling, as Jacobson v. Massachusetts was the Supreme Court ruling that actually authorizes government to mandate a vaccine, and that's all they hang their hat on. Go read that ruling. And I went and found in Massachusetts, it happens to be chapter 111, section 181, and it's very, very short, but it's very precise. That mandate, or that authorization to mandate, is not for all of government. It is nothing like that. It is most specifically given to your local municipal board of health. And along with that ruling, and it's in our Mass General Laws, and it's in the general laws of every state, I'm sure, it's been harmonized with your state law, this Supreme Court ruling. If you either neglect or refuse the vaccine, you are to forfeit $5. So you literally can be compliant with a vaccine mandate from your local board of health by simply giving them a $5 bill. I suggest a check so you got a paper trail. Okay? So when people just miss the trees through the forest here, where sometimes you can just say no and mean it. Here's your $5. Now get out of my grill. Stop abusing my children. Get out of my business, literally out of my business door, and don't come back. This is the way people should be responding to this stuff. $5. Check it out. It's probably in every state's laws. It isn't ours.
I don't know. I ain't getting that back, I'll tell you that right now, especially after everything I've seen. See, all the people that, for the longest time around me, anybody who was sick had been vaxxed, and everybody who was unvaxxed wasn't sick. It's just the way it seems to be going around me right now. I don't know. You know, not so many unvaxxed people are getting sick, but everybody vaccinated seems to be getting it. And I'm not getting it.
We're not vaxxed, and we're getting up there. My wife and I aren't spring chickens anymore. You know, and we've got through it fine. Of course, we had ivermectin, HCQ. We had plenty of zinc and the other stuff, quercetin. You know, we had it ready here. But you know, we had an important choice to make. And one, you know, when we realize that we may get sick too, is do we believe the government? And I look at the government, and almost everything they said, the ground was always shifting under their feet. And then when it settled, it turned out they lied to us. Or I can go over and look at these people that they're horribly demonizing and are saying are crackpots. I'm going to go see what they have to say. And it turns out they were exactly right. The very worst thing to do, the government said, go home until you can't breathe. Then come in. We'll get put you on remdesivir, which causes inflammation and fluid in your lungs, and then we'll put you on a ventilator and we'll kill you off. That was their plan. Now, the frontline doctors, these extremists out there, said, well, you know, for the first time ever in medicine, you're saying early intervention is bad. So I think that's probably questionable. And it turns out you jump on this thing the first couple of days and you nail it. You do. And children, they're skating on this. To force this on a child is flat out is child abuse when done by a parent. Democide when done by government.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. If someone wants to help, is there a way that, is there a give, send, go somewhere for this effort? Because we know GoFundMe ain't, or PayPal ain't going to make it.
Yeah, we can even, you know, give, send, go has had their share of problems. I'm going to stick with the official recommendations of going through either the website itself directly. They've got a donation link up there on the People's Convoy page. And, you know, what a lot of people have adopted around here in the Northeast is many of the people that are all hopped up to help and support are doing donations, and they're cutting out all the middleman. They're doing a Made in America thing. You know, they're cashing up when they're going to the rallies and stuff. So, you know, there's nothing saying you can't get involved with your local group and give most directly. You know, you can still do that. Just make sure you know where it's going. There's a lot of fraudsters and trolls out there who will set up and pretend they're part of the convoy and just take your stuff and, you know, give it to their BLM buddies. You got to make sure you know who you're dealing with. But, you know, give directly, too, if that that helps and gets you involved, which I suggest people get involved. This will be won or lost based on the support of the people. The truckers know how to drive trucks, and they know how to park them. It's going to be on the support of the people.
Amen. And it's very important, folks, to, if you can get involved somehow, get involved somehow. These guys are looking for your support. They're looking for your help. And I think I just cut out the live feed. Oh, well, I think the Facebook Live feed. Oh, there we go. Resume. We're back. So, folks, it's very important here to make a stand somehow, some way, get involved, and stand up for your country, because the shining city on the hill, the lights are getting dim. They're getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer as the days go by. And if we don't make a stand here sooner or later, everything you know and love about this country will be gone. Think about 4th of July celebrations. How many folks love to celebrate 4th of July? Well, if America goes away and it's no more America, 4th of July is gone. won't mean nothing. I mean, I'll still celebrate it. I'll be celebrating and trying to be independent. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're teaching in some of these schools that the Constitution is just an old relic on the wall in a museum somewhere, and it's irrelevant to today because times have changed since Musket. And sorry to say, but if you read in here the Declaration of Independence and you hear the grievances that they lay out against King George in England, you'll be like, holy moly, this sounds just like the Biden administration or the Obama administration. They sound even worse than King George. And here we are. And we're just taking it. We live under this illusion of freedom. The illusion of freedom is, hey, man, Super Bowl's on Sunday. Come on over, guys. I'm going to have wings and beer and chips, and we're going to party. And then when we're done, we can go home. We're free. Until you need the Constitution to back your civil rights. See how free you are then. Ask Ryan Bundy and some of these other guys who were holed up in jail before they were even charged in solitary confinement, locked in a shower stall. In fact, when they were locked into a shower stall, they had a mock shower, and they went outside the federal courthouse with this thing, and they stood in there and made a statement. It was amazing to watch that people stand up every day outside that courthouse. John Lamb was one of the guys. He was really out there reporting and bringing us the news. Keith and Tilly, letting us know it. You know, some of these guys that were involved in there, though, I don't know. You know, there was a lot of federal infiltrators in these groups. They're still there, and you can see what they do when you look back at the January 6th incident at the Capitol. Now, what I say on this show all the time, Mr. Red Pill Rebel, is when I read the Constitution, in there it says when the government no longer represents the people, it is the duty of the people to cast them out and elect the representative government that will represent them. It is in the Constitution. I'm not saying that what they did was right on that day because that was not the plan of any Trump supporter. That plan was put into effect by left-wing tyrants who, by the power of emotion, led Trump supporters into the Capitol, walking around, federal agents walking around in the crowd going, we need to get in that Capitol tomorrow. We need to get in that Capitol this afternoon. We need to get in. They got this guy on camera all over the place telling people that. There's videos of the police just moving the gates out of the way and waving people in. There is video footage of police holding open doors, and as the people slowly file in, photographers waiting inside the doors and at the tops of the stairs. Photo ops, screaming insurrection. No one ever says nothing about Chuck Schumer and all these folks that stormed the Supreme Court building during the Kavanaugh confirmation hearing. They were in there, he was confirmed, and they broke into the Supreme Court building with Chuck Schumer standing on the steps, hooting and hollering and cheering these people on. And you never heard hell or high water. Insurrection? Never. They never brought it up. They never said it. The media didn't cover it. It was quiet. They went and they did their thing. And it was supported and backed by the leftists and the media and the propaganda wing that they are. And it was just incredible. If they could do that, you know, and nothing is...
Yeah, you know, that was another classic First Amendment, it was a peaceful assembly. And we always, even the Tea Party movement and such, you know, these were peaceful events. Agitators come in and make them non-peaceful so that the reporters can report that. But D.C. was the same thing. Now, I saw people down there that had a $3 Trump bumper sticker on a little kid's bicycle helmet that they painted black. You know, these were clearly Antifa wandering around. And look at how they treated them, and they had the absolute right. This was to question the integrity of our election. And I happen to be one of several people out here. We sent out FOIA requests starting 3 days before the election, and we got in information. We got one town. with 88 people 16 years old and under registered to vote. Hundreds registered to vote before they were born. It's unbelievable. If you do that, I guarantee you, ask your own town clerk for those lists, compare them, and you'll see why that many people showed up in D.C. questioning the integrity of our election process. That's a valid question we should be able to put out there. All these secrets with the software, all this other stuff, we have the absolute right to make sure that the democracy part of our republic is working properly.
And dare they, in any way, shape, or form, that think that ID to vote is bad? Makes no sense.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's actually a step towards government ID, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if they try to make it a national ID issue, but in reality, your town clerk has registered in that town hall every person who is living in that municipal area under that zip code is in that town hall and registered. And if they want to vote, they've got to register there. And if they don't have electric bills and driver's licenses and things to prove that they live at that address in that town, then you don't get those privileges. So really, the lion's share of this work has been done. We just got we got towns now, they're giving the legals driver's licenses. It just happened up here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're making the illegal legal, or trying to, and we're tolerating it.
You know? The only time
journey requires consent.
The only time evil wins is when good men do nothing.
Right. Yep, tyranny requires consent. You just got to say no.
That's it. And folks don't understand that, and they just keep taking it. Well, they told me I had to. They made it, it's the law. I got to follow it. Folks, if it's not in line with the Constitution, it's not a law. That's it. That's been proven
During the COVID thing, they said, well, it's an order. And I said, what do you mean? What kind of order? An executive order. Ooh, well, that sounds important. Well, let me tell you this about that. Executive orders from the president are only to the federal agencies, and executive orders from the governor is only to state agencies, not businesses, not people, not schools. You got to stop listening to despots. So what?
Yep.
You gave an order? So what?
If the president mandates,
you
have to follow. That's what they tell me. If the president mandates it, you have to follow it. No, I don't. Mandate's not a law. There's a process.
Yeah.
You know, it starts out in committee. It gets, you know, these guys push it through committee, and it makes it to, you know, it goes through the process, and it lands on the governor or the president's desk to be signed. There's a whole.
Well, if mandates were only that easy, I could just mandate the people not listen to jackasses, and then everything would be solved, but. You know, mandates aren't really nothing. So people are just going to stand out for their rights. Those businesses, the ones out here, there were several of them. There was a gun shop, there was a church, and there was a gym. They just said, no, I'm not shutting down. So they went and they cut his power. Well, his friends and customers brought in generators, so they cut his water. The next day, they stacked to the ceiling cases of water. They put up plywood, and they said, thank you for the plywood. You know, they would not stop. And in every case, they won in court, too. So you just got to not listen to these people. You know, civil disobedience, by definition, is civil. You're not harming anybody. You're really just being free.
That's
the law is on our side.
Civil.
Yeah.
Civilized people participate in civil disobedience. Animals burn down the city.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm right here at the end of the show. And I just want you to give out any and all information that you want to give out, like your website, how people can link up to your show, where people can find the convoy pages, all that fun stuff.
The main convoy page is thepeoplesconvoy.org, I think, and you can donate there. Our page up in the Northeast, we just changed the name over to the People's Convoy. Dash Northeast Region, So if you're up in that area, please plug in and join us. The show, we broadcast Saturday, 10 to midnight Eastern Time at republicbroadcasting.org, or look us up on Twitch, Red Pill Patriot. And for those that really, actually want to stand with the Constitution and put into place those public servants that we were just talking about, please go to the ConstitutionParty.com website, and you'll find that I'm the regional chair here in the Northeast, and not only myself, but the other regional chairs would be very glad to plug you right in to something very actionable and productive for the Republic. So I got to thank you very much for inviting me on the show, too. We got to take every opportunity right now to pull our brothers and sisters together all across this country in a unified voice. Let all layers of government know that we are nobody's subjects. We are free people, and we're going to act it.
Yes,
thank you.
Not subjects, not subjects. We are free Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been an amazing episode. I had a good time. I want to thank you so much, Mr. Red Pill Rebel, for coming on the show. Make sure you head out and check out his show, ladies and gentlemen, redpillpolitics.org, I believe you said was the website, or is
Republicbroadcasting.org. That's the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can catch my show live Saturdays, 10 to midnight. But they got a 24-hour schedule of great programmers. Check them out, too. And, yeah, hope to see you down there in D.C.
Get the truth, folks. And we're working on some things for the next couple of weeks for the show here. Of course, we're always having fun. The show's fun. We love the show. It's been a great show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to have another show this next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm not sure which guest I'm going to have on exactly, but we're working on a few things. We're always working on things to bring truth, justice, freedom, liberty, the American way of life, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, the whole nine yards. Wave your flag, stand for the flag, kneel for the cross. You know the deal, folks. And I got this great tune I'm going to play right now as we wrap up the show. This is our good friend, Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, Storyteller Edition's out. He's got some new songs, new things. He's touring around. Check him out. Get some merch. Hold on. He's got everything there. You want to wear your red shirt on Friday, your blue shirt on Monday, you want to wear Patriot gear every day of the week, he's got it. And he makes it himself, which is really cool. So you want to check out DaveBrayUSA.com. If you want somebody to come to your event and rock out, he is America's most patriotic rocker. And I've been following him since his days in Madison Rising when he was the lead singer there, and they had an amazing version of the Star Spangled Band. Well, he is now a solo artist, and on the album that I said, Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition, you can hear this version of the Star Spangled Band. And like I said, we stand for the flag and we kneel for the cross, so join me as I rise up and we do the national anthem as only Dave Bray himself can do, Raven Bill. Thank you. Can you? folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been another fine episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Until we meet again next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Good night. God bless you, and God bless America. Thanks a lot, Red Pill.
Thank you. Have a great evening, everybody.
Peace, brother. Be safe.